worms. W8FU. We're on the same schedule today. Give me a minute, I gotta run and grab some caffeine and ADDS. Roger, roger. W8FU.
K8RUH.
Anthony! Yo, what's up?
Not much, just hanging out with you.
Just making the old Monday drive. Starting the grind. Got a rather mundane week. Nothing out of the ordinary or unusual. So that's good. How about you?
Same here. Just trying to figure out if my day is going to be chaotic or not, being that it's the end of the month and the end of a quarter. So could get wild. Could be easygoing. We'll see what happens. But this weather kind of sucks. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think 40s today is what they're saying, and I think this week about the best we do is poking into the 50s, so yeah, it's going to be down for a week or two, for sure.
Yeah, but that's always how it goes. It's great for a week, and then we have 5-6 weeks of crummy weather, and then the weather actually breaks, so nothing new.
Good morning, gangsters. Good morning. Anywho, let me start like Anthony out here. Is that Anthony?
Yep, Anthony and Sean.
Okay, let's see if I got it here. There we go. Yep, so that establishes the rotation. Anywho, I am a little ahead of schedule, actually. You said we're on the same schedule. I think Anthony's a little ahead. I'm a little ahead. I got on the road about a quarter to seven today. I don't know why. Just woke up and started moving and bingo bango. Next thing you know, I'm on the road at a quarter to. Oh, man. So that'll give me time to stop for something. But I don't feel like eating nothing today, so I don't know. Maybe get a coffee. That's about it. How was your weekend, Dakota? Did you do any HF radio, anything radio? Or just admiring your new garage, new driveway? Oh, if you're on the road at 6:45, you are a little ahead then. I'm a lot of behind. Driveway's all right. I found a picture when we got the heavy rain. There's a low spot in it. I'm like, hey, you guys need to fix this because you said we were going to bring it up right there, and you didn't bring it up enough, so bring it up some more. So they said they're going to come look at it today, but I was home with the children all weekend, so our highlight was going to get Happy Meals yesterday afternoon. And as far as radio, funny enough, the only thing I touched this weekend, which kind of planted a little bug, was I grabbed my Kenwood to listen to the weather when that gnarly storm rolled through, and I had the Statue of Liberty, like, in my house. It was annoying, even with the signal thing on it, so then I started concocting, pricing, and planning on a dual-band vertical that I'm going to stuff in the attic, I think. So I'm going to get back to give me your two cents on what you think there, but Anthony.
That was my radio playing this weekend also. All I had was turn the radio on when they started that net, and that thing went for a couple, definitely over an hour. I was actually surprised. But no real weather here down by me, man. We had a couple minutes of wind, and then very little rain one, maybe two cracks of thunder, and that was it. It was a whole lot of hype for nothing, luckily.
Yeah, pretty much same by us. We had a couple of minutes of windy, gusty, wasn't really big, and the rain was pretty heavy at that point, but it wasn't, I wouldn't call it torrential or anything unusual, just pretty darn good rain for a few minutes. And as I was guessing, as the front moved through, and then it was pretty much okay, so... It was no big deal. It looks like it was a little north of us. Well, actually, it was north and south of us. It was weird. If you looked at the radar, it looked like we were at the vanguard of a boomerang. You know, we were right at the front curve. Because from us north, it was sweeping backwards, you know, sweeping west. And to south of us, it was sweeping west. So we were like at the front of the bulge or something like that. Very weird. And the lightest. It looked heavier south of us and heavier north of us. Very weird. I imagine up by you, Dakota, it was probably a little bit worse. It seemed like as you went north. And I know Lapeer, did you see Lapeer Amateur Radio Club? LAP, they lost their repeater. Tower came down. Did you see the picture I posted? Yeah, same here. It got pretty sporty for, I don't know, my parents were over, they stopped by, and then they left. And then my mom texted me, she goes, you might want to shut your garage, the winds and rain are nuts. And she's like, the sirens are going off in Romeo, and I'm assuming Elmont. And I didn't really pay any attention to it, and then I heard the house, like, moving. So all right, I'm going to grab my radio and see what I can see. And then I got distracted trying to listen to the weather, but... it wasn't bad. A couple minutes, heavy wind, heavy rain, and then it was gone. So, but no, I did not see that. I'll have to check that out. I think that's a VHF repeater, right? I've been on it a few times. That's a bummer. I can't believe those the winds were strong enough to take it down.
I did not see it either, but I can't imagine that that does suck because I would imagine it's a very expensive thing to replace, and I would imagine as a independent club, you may or may not have funding for something like that.
Yeah, I don't know their situation, but you know, the only good thing is, I don't know what kind of tower it is or how high it was, but it looked like it was like a freestanding Roan or something like that. You know, could have been something more. I don't know. If that's the case, they could probably find tower, you know, and if they've got climbers in the group or something like that, they can probably fix it themselves. But, you know, those are big buts, big what-ifs. So, you know, it didn't look like it was a commercial site where they, you know, have to wait for the owner of the site to get things fixed. So, but I don't know. What exactly the story was there. And Dakota, I didn't forget, you're going to putting a dual band in the attic. I hate attic antennas. Everybody that does them, you know, they work, but they, you know, they work at a fraction of what they could work. I mean, if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But if you can clamp it to the chimney, just get it outside, it makes all the difference in the world. Is there a reason you got to go in the attic? Is it YL approval?
No reason other than convenience and the amount I would probably use it. It was more or less just to be more for reception and receiving rather than transmitting. But I kind of have the same thoughts, and from what I was reading last night, people were saying the same thing. I'm sure I'd be able to work Romeo and Richmond, no problem, but that would probably be the extent of it. No reason, just convenience. And now I'm going to rack my brain on where I would mount it outside.
Yeah, when I put mine up, I looked similar spots, and it also ended up going outside. I just bought one of those, I think it's a Comet something along those lines. They end up getting a pretty tall one. I think it's about 10 feet. And it works incredible. So if you can go outside, I'd go outside and get something like that. It's going to work great.
Yeah, the one thing that I put up, oh God, 40 years ago probably. No, 35 anyhow. I put up a tri-bander. Mine was 2 meter, 440, and 1296. If I were doing it again, I might go 6'2 and 432. But dual banner is just as good as any. But I put up a decent one back in the late 80s. And it is still up there to this day, and it's probably the single most used antenna I have, obviously. I've had varying different, wire antennas and whatnot. Let me order my coffee. I'll be right back. I'll catch next round.
Well, I'm going to hold off until the new Kenwood comes out then, and then maybe repurpose the 500 to the in of doors. I was thinking just, like I said, just for, receiving, because even if I did the Statue of Liberty in the house, I could pick up weather on my HD, no problem. But, if I'm going to go that far and I'm going to run cable and all that crap, I might as well do it right. So I'm going to wait then. I'll wait till I have a second mobile on hand to put on the desk, and then I'll probably just tuck the 891 away for when I want to use it, and then I'll do the same thing as just run the coax to the desk and put the antenna outside.
Dakota, do you still have that that signal stick mag mount? Because I know sometimes when I'm just in the garage, I'll use that on an HT or even one of those, the DB20 or GB20 20-watt mobile units, and I can receive and transmit to most repeaters around me, but definitely with the handheld, I'm able to receive exponentially better things that I couldn't do with the antenna on the radio. So if you still got that thing, it might be worth throwing it on your barbecue and listening that way.
I'm between the order window and the pickup window, so I can just get back in there. No, I was completing my thought. That's the single probably most used antenna I had, and I highly recommend it. All right, picking up. Be back in a sec.
It's funny you say that, Anthony. I tried that yesterday. It was in my garage, stuck to my toolbox. I had it all coiled up. Just if I take my wife's car or whatever, I'll grab that. I smacked it on a gun safe, and I still couldn't receive inside unless I was by a window. So, again, probably not something that would get used a whole heck of a lot. I mean, I've got three nodes, and I don't even use those, and an APRS little iGate, but I don't know. It was more or less just for almost a listening device. But yeah, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it right.
Yeah, I think in the long run, you'll appreciate having it done correctly and not just winging it. You know, my problem is that I wish I would have split the line from my antenna to have a lead go into the garage and a lead go to the basement where I have a mobile at my desk, because I spend a lot of time in the garage listening, and it would be nice to have a good antenna that's on the roof to that. I just got to spend the time figuring out how to do it, that's all.
My turn.
KEA TFM.
Hello, Davian. I don't know what happened. I went to the drive-thru at Starbucks. Dakota and Anthony were talking, and when I got back, I didn't hear nothing.
We're here. I thought you jumped back and said my turn. My bad. Davian or Sean, go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Davian. Good morning.
I was gonna jump in there and be devil's advocate. I got a disc stone with a 6-meter width in the attic, and it works just fine. I can get every local repeater. I've made tons of contacts on 6 meters with it. I don't notice any difference. I think it's fine. That's my my 2 cents. EFM.
Well, have you had it outside, though, to compare?
Well, fair question. All I can say is every local repeater I can hit just fine. Even the B-Star repeater, I can hit that one no problem. I just haven't had the desire to move it outside. And I usually listen to a lot of people in the pub crawl and that they do in Wayne County, and I've heard most of the repeaters. I can't hit like Ann Arbor, things like that, but it's not bad. I wouldn't discourage anyone from doing it. Now, I don't know about HF, but no problem with that disc cone at all.
So now the question is, do I try it? I can do it for like $130 with the cable because I already have the ends and the crimper.
Well, if the difference is doing it or not doing it, then do it in the attic. All I'm pointing out is that it's a given. It's not debatable. If you put it outside, it's going to work better. Now, will it work good enough, like in Davian fish? Sure, it could. So do it if the option is not doing it. But the point is, you're a long way out. You're not like us. You know, Davian's a little way out, but he's not out like you. And you just need every bit you can get, right? And I don't know. I just unless you got a reason why you can't put it out, I put it out. But if not getting it out is the other option, by all means, do it.
If you put it in the attic, can you reuse the parts to put them outside would be my question. If you spend $130, are you out $130 if it doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would be out would be one connector of the coax to cut it and pull it back out. I would probably just order coax long enough that I could move it outside if I wanted to, give myself like an extra 10 feet to play with. The downside is I don't have a chimney, so it would have to come out the back of the house right where my HF antenna is, which isn't a big deal. I got a junction box and all that there, so it wouldn't be bad.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Katie Forsey. Yeah, somebody like me is in the HOA. I don't have much choice, but I put a Comet GP3 in the attic, and I knew that the roof was not insulated with a aluminum insulation, and it's not aluminum siding and all that, so you got to realize what you got insulation-wise, you know, aluminum backing on your insulation materials and all that, if you do attic, and use a good coax. A Belden 9913 is a semi-flexible if you can't use LMR 400 or something to run your antenna. Just an idea. Back to whoever gets it, KE4ZYQ.
I guess for education purposes, I'll give it a go. That's the exact antenna I have in my car right now. It's $99, about 30 to 35 feet of coax, and I already have the end. So I guess no harm, no foul. I even have the, what the hell do they call that thing? The barrel connector. God damn it, I don't remember the name. Anyway, I guess I'll order it in the world. Like you said, I'll order it in there. I'll go outside after the fact.
Whenever the order is unknown, I have an anxiety about keying up because I'm not sure who's next. Now, that is Sean brought up a good point. I'm kind of in the middle of everything in Shelby Township, you know, and I have an HOA, so I have really no choice. I gotta hide the stuff anyway. So
I ran the Discone. I also tried a Comet GT3. I didn't notice any difference with them. So it's kind of like, I would say being in the attic, it is what it is. Like, thing doesn't even seem to make a difference. So, but I'm able to get out and hit everything that I need to hit. But Dakota is quite a bit further out, so he'd probably notice the difference more. So I'd kind of be curious to have you run the experiment, put it in the attic, and then when the weather's nice, move it outside and see if there's any difference. Maybe when you have it in there, you know, someone at the fringe of your range could try talking to you before and after the move. KE8TFM.
Wonder if it's me. I've been busy walking in the shop door. I am here now. I gotta tend to things, but yeah, I agree. Try it. You know, if it's easy, try it. Do it, and if you're happy, then you know, no harm, no foul. I thought sure you'd have a chimney of some sort. The fact that you don't changes things because, you know, a chimney mount's easy. You don't have one. Now you're talking about a whole different kettle of fish. So, but, you know, I mean, there's easy ways to do that, too. You get side mounts. But yeah, if you don't have a convenient, easy way to mount it outside and you can get it up easy in the attic, by all means, give it a whirl. All right, I just walked in, guys. I got to tend to business here. I will be listening. Might jump back in a few minutes, but I got to see what's going on here when I walk in. W8FU.
Dakota, it sounds like you're putting an antenna up in your attic this week.
Yep, sure does. Davian, appreciate the insight. Yeah, I kind of agree. I'm not close to anything except for Romeo, and even that's not that close. And Sean, I'll catch up with you later. My only hesitation to doing this whole thing and putting it in the attic is it would be with a 5-watt HT, so it would not be you know, a fair assessment whatsoever or best case scenario because I don't have a second mobile. That's kind of why I was like, well, do I just wait? But I guess it doesn't hurt, right? Those Comets are cheap enough and cables cheap enough that I can do them, you know, make my own. It doesn't cost that much. Might as well conduct the experiment.
E4ZYQ. I got another comment for the guy with the attic antenna, or the groin tube, and that is look on QRZ under Q. KE4ZYQ. There's a photo of one in the attic. And I use PC to mount the antenna on it, and I may have a relative for me, because I can't do it, go up and raise it up a little bit higher on the PVC, because it's not really right to the peak of the attic. A few more inches or a foot more height, and see if that even helps it even better. But I'm able to get into edges with good propagation, good weather. Repeater. I put in township attic antenna. Shoot, I'm sorry, I didn't hear any names, so I can't know who to pass it. Sorry to interrupt, guys. KU4ZYQ. Joe here.
All right, thanks, Joe. I'll check it out when I get to the office here. So that's the other thing, is I have like 8 or 9 foot ceilings in my attic too, so I could put a pretty darn good size antenna in there. I don't know. I'm gonna jump on DXE when I get to the office and do a final cost and see what this is gonna, what it's gonna take, but I guess, you know, cables. What really kills me is how expensive the damn connectors are. Like, cable's cheap. It's like LMR240 was what I was looking at, because then I don't have to buy new dies or ends. Because it's the same size as RG8X, but less loss. Times microwave, it's like $1.14 a foot, but then the ends are 6 for $33. So every time I'm going to cut that cable to move it, it's going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I would say with the attic antenna, using LMR400 is going to be your biggest improvement, I think, over the location. Because once you get over 60 feet, you're going to be almost 2 to 3 dB of loss at UHF frequencies, and that's where the LMR 400 will help. That'll probably be help you more than moving it outside, at least for UHF anyway. But I've had good luck with mine. I can't complain. It's like you say, I have no itch to move it out of the attic. But yeah, if you have 5 watts with the HT only right now, yeah, that'll be a little tough. But you know what I did for almost 6 months? I bought a second cradle mount for my 500, and I just pulled the 500 out of the car, and I had a mount in the house, and I would just dual purpose the 500. So that's what I did for about 6 months.
Dakota, if you get that up, I may have an extra mobile that I could loan you for a bit while you're trying to get it all figured out.
Anthony, I appreciate the offer. I got a power supply at my desk for my AC1. I could always just order another one of those BTEC amps that are actually, for anyone listening, worth every penny. They work phenomenally well. And Davian, I'm going to be like, I mean, it's literally, so if it's going in the attic, it's probably a 12-foot run. Like, I could probably, for the time being, just use the excess, like, jumper cables I have for POTA in RG8X because it's so short. But I was looking at LMR 240. At 100 feet, it's 2.8 dB, I think, at 450. But I'm going to be, like, 35, even if I go outside. So, that's why I was looking at that, and then, like I said, it saves me $35 for the die, and then another $35 for the right-size connectors. So, you know, pretty much half my cost would be in just switching the type of cable.
Well, if you don't need more than 25 feet, I have some scrap LMR 400 you're welcome to, because I had to chop off. I bought 100-foot. Pre-crimp, that's what I was using for the longest time, and then once I re-ran everything, I cut off, I think, 25 or 30 feet, so I have a chunk of LMR 400, and I have no use for it, and it's not flexible enough to use in the field, really, so, yeah, if you need some LMR 400, I say, as long as you don't need more than 25, 30 feet, I got you taken care of.
Are you a solder-on guy, or are you a crimp guy?
So I crimp the connector, but I solder the center conductor. So I just bought the connectors on Amazon, and they work fine. I slide the connector on, I solder the center conductor, and then I have the crimp for the sleeving or for the outer jacket.
Okay, that's exactly how the connectors I use are. Well, I mean, like I said, I got no problem buying the cable. Maybe I'll just have you lend me your crimper, and then I can terminate the two damn ends and call it a day.
No, you can borrow that, too. In fact, I even have connectors, so I got, like, 6 extra. So it's, yeah, like I say, I'm not doing anything with the cable. It's been sitting on the shelf, and it will sit there forever. So, yeah, if you want the cable and the connectors, you're more than welcome to it.
Gentlemen, the office, we're going to get out here, RPA-RUH, good morning. This morning. You're in need of that mobile for any period of time, and we'll get it over to you. I'll catch up with you guys tomorrow. KE-8-RUH, and I'll be clear.
Have a good day, Anthony. I doubled with you, sorry. And Davey, I don't know if he caught that, but I appreciate it.
see if he could, Jim.
K8BB.
Mobile monitoring.
KF8VPA, mobile monitoring. KF8VPA, mobile.
W8BIJ. W8TIJ Mobile. Station, you were breaking up. W8TIJ. I didn't get much of that. Kilo 2 something or other, I'm not really sure. Name is Greg, Golf Romeo, Uncle Golf. I'll stand by.
W8FSM from KF8ESS. W8FSM from KF8ESS. KF8ESS, Larry.
W8VIJ.
KE8VSI mobile.
KE8VSI.
KZ8Z Mobile.
KF8BPA Mobile Monitoring.
KZKJL. KE8BSI, KE8BSI, KZ8B. You there, Greg? KZ8B Mobile.
KZKJL.
KE8, are you 8?
What up?
What are you doing traveling at this time of day?
I hit start shutdown at 5 p.m. on the docks, but I've had enough of this Monday, and I left.
I hear ya.
I'm at Holland Shaner, so knock on wood. Traffic's cruising. I'm assuming you just got out.
No, I'm already on my side of town. Long story, but I bought new tires at lunch, and I had to pick up my summer wheels and tires, which I bought new summer tires from where I keep them. And so I cut out, I got them in the car, I'll drop them off tomorrow and get them mounted and balanced and all that jazz and have some new tires for the summer.
Oh, you fancy, you got two sets.
I certainly do. We'll see how long I have two sets, though. I think these snow tires, if I'm lucky, I got one more winter on them. And then we'll decide if I buy another set.
I just went through this on my wife's car. I cannot stand buying tires. And I keep telling myself I want to put bigger tires on my truck, and then I don't. So you don't want to buy tires, but then it's like, you know, you kind of need to buy tires, and it's like, why are they so expensive for, I mean, I don't know. I guess they last a while. I shouldn't complain too much, but yeah, I hate buying tires.
Dude, talk about expensive. Four tires for my car, a Fusion, I spent $1,000 on them. It's outrageous. Now, I bought nice tires. They're going to last me a while. I didn't go in and buy the cheapest ones, but I didn't go buy the most expensive either.
Oh, I hear you, man. I just did this for my wife's car. She's got, what are those? I think they're 18-inch rims, and I bought her Firestone all-weather or something like that. They're not all-season. Like, they're pretty gnarly-looking tires, but it was $1,100 out the door, and then my last truck, I put 33 12.5s on. That was $1,600 out the door. And then the truck before that, I put 35 12.5s on. That was $1,800 out the door. So it's ridiculous for, you know, I mean, they last. I shouldn't, like, act like I have to do this every year, but still, it's just, it hurts.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'll be honest. I am a little disappointed that my summer tires, I'm replacing them. You know, since I have summer and winter tires, my car is only 5 years old, so I feel like they should have lasted longer, but, you know, I'm inching in on 80,000 miles here, so I guess, it makes sense.
NADDF. I mean, if those are factory tires and it's 5 years old with 80K, that's not bad, even though you do have two sets, but you're only running the winter tires for, what, 3-4 months a year?
Yeah, I try to do November, mid-November, end of November till April 1st-ish, like this time of year, I switch them over. And, yeah, so I'm 3-4 months at most.
I guess I shouldn't complain then, since I'm fortunate enough that I only have to run one set, but I'm still of the opinion that factory truck tires are made out of styrofoam and they don't last nearly as long as they should.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, the factory tires, they did not last as long as I think they should. Now, I think the tire that I just purchased is going to last me a long time. It's got a really nice tread pattern. I actually put the same tire on my wife's Explorer in the fall. So we'll both be running the same tires, but it's a nice, a little more aggressive all-season tire. So I don't really need to put the snow tire back on, but I probably will just for longevity purposes.
Yeah, you might as well if you think you got one season left in them, burn them off, keep the miles off your new ones, and then run that, especially if you plan on keeping the car till you run the wheels off of it.
Dude, I'm going to be calling you from the side of the road for a ride. This thing's going to die on the highway somewhere, because I drove it for 12, 15 years.
If I could keep my vehicle ADD in check, I would do the same thing, but I just drove past the car hauler with two black and white Chevy 2500s on, and I broke my neck to look at them. So so I have no discipline. But I'm married to this truck for the time being. I'm not getting out of it till, God, I don't even know when. So I kind of plan on doing the same thing, man. And it seems like the older I get, the less I really care about what I'm driving. It's more of like an infatuation, like the Hummer. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the new vehicle prices are getting so stupid.
Yeah, I don't want to pay a house payment on a vehicle. But, yeah, I've been known to drive cars till they fall apart, like, quite literally. One vehicle I had, it broke down, like, 2 days before I was trading it in, and I put a new radiator in it and then traded it in, just because I wanted that trade-in value. But it was to the point that my wife looked at me and said, if you want your daughter to ride in that car, you need to go buy a new one. So I decided I should go buy a new car.
Are you still going on about that Hummer?
Listen, someday I'm going to have one. Or if they make the Cybertruck less hideous, one of those. But yes, we were briefly discussing the Hummer.
Hey guys, I'm pulling up to the house, but I will catch up with you soon. I think that was Tom. Tom, I found out today that we have a mutual friend in Chris Cole, and we'll have to talk about that later. This is KEHRUH pulling into my driveway, gentlemen. Have a great evening. I will listen out.
All right, Anthony, good talking to you, man. Hey, I'll catch you tomorrow. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to talk to you on the flip on that one.
What was that, Tom? You guys doubled.
I don't mean to step on anybody. Sorry, Coda. No, I said, yeah, I've known Chris for a long time. I just stopped by and saw him the other day. I'll talk to you next time you're out. KCKGO on that one.
All right, catch up with the gentleman tomorrow or maybe later tonight. We'll see you later. KEHRUH. I'll be clear.
All right, Anthony, I'll talk to you. Tom, where are you at?
I just pulled into town. I parked in front of City Hall so I can close out one of my jobs. Were you, you on your way home?
Oh, so you made good time today. Yeah, I'm on, I just crossed 27 and a half. I'm 53. I'm behind a, Jetta that appears to be rolling coal, so I'm kind of intrigued by this.
Oh, those diesel Jettas are nice.
This one may or may not have a lift kit. It looks like it's seen better days, but he just got on it, and it had a nice plume of black smoke coming out the back of it. So, pretty cool. I bet you that dude gets like 50 miles a gallon.
Yeah, I do like the diesel Volkswagens. I had a Volkswagen Eurovan for the longest time. That was a gasser. But when I lived in Sterling Heights, I filled up in Sterling Heights, got all the way to Toronto on almost a half, just over a half a tank.
I think the Germans got their vehicles figured out, except for the BMWs. I don't know if you follow it at all or pay attention to it at all, but the EPA is deregulating 31 regulations, majority of them in automotive. So my fingers are crossed that that means diesel pickups, where all this emissions garbage is going to go by the wayside, and they'll be back to, you know, 400, 500,000 mile motors. But we shall see.
Oh, you're talking about that stupid DEF stuff that's on them? Limits your mileage capabilities because you got to pay, what is it, $85 for 5 gallons of that blue stuff that serves no purpose?
Yeah, the government juice. There's the DEF, there's the exhaust gas recirculator, there's the diesel particulate filter, tens of thousands of dollars of garbage that just choked the truck out. So I'm
hoping that's all going to go away. I'm not super optimistic that if it does, the prices of those trucks will come down, but supposedly the R&D, that's where a lot of the cost comes from. So I don't know how much R&D you can do when the technology already exists.
Yeah, you got all those restrictors on it, all those filters and everything, and all it does is choke the truck down. So you use more fuel, so you're burning more fuel because it's so choked down, it doesn't have a way to get out of there. And the filter alone is like $5,000.
Yeah, well, thankfully the Green New Deal is no longer a thing. So we'll see what happens with that, but when I had my diesel, that was the first thing I did within 5,000 miles. I cut all that crap out of it.
Yeah, I had a co-worker did a diesel S250 and a really nice truck, but he constantly had problems with the desk. And it was like $3,000 for this, $2,000 for that. I mean, by the time he got done getting it fixed, it was just under $10,000. He goes, this is ridiculous. So he traded in and bought a gasser.
Gas is definitely easier and cheaper. Mine was the same thing. I bought mine used. I had like 69,000 miles on it. I bought it in August or September. By the first frost, the first day was below 32 degrees. The depth heater, which is basically just the heat rod in the tank, didn't work. I got a quote from Ford. They said it was going to be $1,800 to fix it. I took it to a diesel shop. It was $1,500 to delete it. And I said, well, that's an easy one.
Grandfather had a Mercedes diesel 300 series. One, that thing had a lot of torque, and it had that thing was fast. But it had a reburner on it, so some of the particulate went back into the engine and got reburnt again. And it was a clean diesel. So like you said, I think the Germans got it right. We just need to follow suit.
Yeah, that came about in 2013. No, DAF came out, I'm trying to think here, I gotta get my timeline right. I think 2009 was the introduction of the EGR, which is the exhaust gas recirculator, which was a mandate, and I think in 2013 is when they started mandating DAF. I can't remember. But yeah, it was under the good old Obama administration, all this garbage started to happen to these good trucks.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy a Tesla. I'm green, super green, 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 green. Now, because of the situation at hand, now they're blowing them up, burning them up, and scratching them up, and doing whatever.
I used to think Teslas were the dumbest thing ever until this current situation happened, and now I want one.
I want one just to play with. You know, I got this little, one of the little Transit Connects. And I don't mind it, you know. It's restricted, but, you know, the company pays for it. But I like those new Mavericks. I don't mind the hybrids. That way, it's, you know, it's gas and electric, but it's not bad.
Captain Don, I heard you in there. Yeah, Todd, those Mavericks are, if you're cool with a little truck, I wanted one on my old job for, you know, doing installs and stuff, but the owner was anti-truck for whatever reason, said it was a waste of space. So that's interesting. But, yeah, they're cool. I know a couple people have them. They're just too small for me. And depending on what trim you get, those things get expensive quick. Go ahead, Don.
All right, yeah, I've been sitting here listening to you guys. Figured I'd chime in before you got home and say hi, Dakota. So, hello, Dakota. And how you doing, Tom? Did you get that satellite antenna yet?
Well, there, Captain. And I got the one returned, and my daughter and I think we're going to try to get that proper one ordered this weekend. She's a little tight on cash because she had some bills she had to take care of. But I do have now, I have a Motorola XPR4550 with a roaming DMR on it. Compliments of Mr. KPP.
Tom, I have a Aero with the duplexer that's like brand new that I would give you a good deal on if you're interested. And I ordered some LMR 400 and the connectors and the die for my crimper and a Comet today, so we're going to see how that goes. I'm going to stuff it in the attic. We're going to do a little experiment, see how it does, and if it's good enough to do what I want to do, I'm going to leave it, but if I think it can do better, I'm going to put it outside.
Ah, cool. Good deal. Good deal. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sure you're going to probably jump on what he said.
Yeah, that's the one that Don's been, you know, Don's circled for me, an Aero antenna, so I can hit the ISS. Yeah, I'm interested in it.
Yeah, it's been sitting in my closet for a while now, and I 3D printed some little brackets that clip onto it, and they hold all the elements together, so it's nice and compact, but yeah, it's the duplexer, UHF, VHF, the whole nine.
My email is on my QRZ if you want to email me. Oh, no, wait, I got you on Facebook. That's right. DM me on Facebook with the price. I'll let my daughter know. And she has Venmo, so she can Venmo it to you, too.
Yeah, we'll work something out. I'll shoot you a message. But, no, don't worry about the Venmo. We'll, whenever we hook up, you can pay me then. But I'd rather go somewhere it's going to get used because I keep saying I'm going to do it, and then I don't do it. The satellites are tough for me. I'm either in bed when they're happening or I'm at work when they're happening. So, yeah, don't use it a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
Got this, Don.
So then I can hang out with Don when he's up this way on a weekend or something. See if we can hook up a day to go play in the skies, I guess you could say. Go ahead, Don. KKKJO.
Yep, for sure, for sure. They got a rocket launching tonight, 9:45 p.m. They're going to be doing polar orbit, first time humans are in polar orbit. And they're going to be doing SSTV from the capsule. There's a bunch of college teams that are doing some kind of contest with the pictures that are received, and anybody can download them. So I think that's going to start Wednesday, the transmission. So I'm going to be playing around with that this week, see if I can get some SSTV images from polar orbit. But yeah, for sure, we'll hook up once you get that antenna, and I'll show you how it's done.
I don't even know how much those cost new. What is that, the one that's 192? I vaguely remember that number.
Yeah, I think it was around, probably when you bought it, it was. I think it might be a little bit higher now, but yeah. Yes, I think so. Tom's probably been looking them up. He probably knows them.
Let's see here. The 146-437 10WBP split boom with duplexer. Use one radio with this antenna, both in the optional roll-up bank. Is, right now, it's 201.
How about I knock $51 off of that and you call it a day?
Yeah, I'll let my daughter know. She'll be home tonight.
There you go, Don. You got another space cadet.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to get that antenna because I figured he'll be on it and doing it and having fun. So that's cool. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's legal for your daughter to use your call sign too, as long as you're standing there with her. So yeah, when they hear the YL voices on there, everybody kind of wants to answer them. So there's a tip for you.
Yeah, when she ordered it, it was her and my son that put their funds together and bought it for me for Christmas, and they just grabbed the wrong one. but I told him about it. She goes, I'm sorry, Dad, but she emailed Arrow and says, hey, I bought my dad the wrong one, and blah, 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 and their customer service was like, yeah, just send it back with this email, and you're all done. So I did that, and she got the money back on it. I think she's got it sitting there on the side somewhere. So, yeah, I'll talk to her tonight about it. And, Coda, that sounds like a very good price, because that's what she paid for the other one. So, yep, it's a done deal. I just got to get the cash from her.
I'm in town, so I'm probably a bit noisy, but yeah, Tom, we'll figure it out. We'll hook up, and I'll get it to you. It's just sitting in my closet right now, and that makes me feel better about buying cable and an antenna today for something that probably won't get used a whole lot. Even my old house, I hardly ever used my RF with the rooftop. But the biggest thing was yesterday, I had my 75 in my bedroom when we got that gnarly storm that rolled through, and I couldn't even hear the weather unless they did the Statue of Liberty. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get an antenna. I don't like not being able to hear things.
Yeah, I like that. That they, I think they switch over the Richmond one to the Skywarn WT8X or whatever it is during the storms too. So, yeah, that's awesome to be able to listen to that because then you know what's coming across the state.
I actually used Open Spot last night. Because where I'm at, I can't even hit the, being a storm spotter, I couldn't hit the Mount Clemens 47.2 VHF to even check in. So I just turned on my TYT and set it up to, 53, I think, event 1, and just listened there. I heard the whole storm just move across the entire state. So I was active, I just couldn't report in. And when I hit up here in Memphis, it was just, a little bit of gust of wind and one or two cracks of lightning, and it was gone within like 20 minutes.
Dave was telling me that it was on MI-5 too, which I don't have in my Open Spot, so I got to do that. Which is, I forgot, I tried, I was texting Dave earlier, and he said that WACBT and Greg were over on the node, and I forgot that the digital got turned off. So I'm just a schmuck that doesn't have a portable All-Star node anymore, but I think I'm going to convert that one that's sitting in my cabinet, the Shari, into something I can bring with me. But, yeah, I mean, you know, of course, right, real-world scenario outside the hobby of, like, I want important information and I want it now, I couldn't do it. So the whole reason I got into radio in the first place was, you know, emergency communications, alternative communications, yada, yada, the whole nerdy thing. And I couldn't do it, so I was pretty disappointed in myself. After, it took me a second to figure out why I couldn't hear it. I'm like, why the hell can I not hear this thing? Is it 12QI? And then I held it above my head, and I'm like, oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. You're in Macomb County still, aren't you, where you're at? Because there is a weather net that St. Clair County has that you could probably hear. So I think they did it on the Port Huron repeater last night. Yeah, so we check into that one, and then one person reports back to WT8X from the county. So you might benefit from listening to that one. Well, maybe not, but you would let them know what's coming toward St. Clair County because you're right at the edge.
Yeah, the next street north of me, Boardman, right where the two dispensaries are, we'll just put it that way, that's St. Clair County right there. So, yeah, I'm south of Boardman, which is Macomb.
All right, gents. Well, it's good talking to you. I'm pulling in here. Tom, like I said, we'll hook up here. Just I'll shoot you a message with my phone number, and we'll coordinate. I'm out and about every day, just like you are, so we'll make it happen. And Don, good hearing from you, man. We'll have to get together here soon or go screw around at a park. I'll listen out, boys. Good talking to you, and maybe I'll catch you later. NAGBF.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, maybe we'll have to meet up at Bald Mountain or something. That's probably a little closer to you than Wetzel is now. But good talking to you. I'll catch you later. WPTT.
Dakota. I'll talk to you on the flip. KCKQ. John, are you up in, up in this way, or are you down in the Astro Nexus today?
I'm actually preparing to head up in a little bit here, so yeah, I'll be up there for days, maybe the whole week. I'm not sure yet.
Cool beans. Yeah, I got a mobile DMR now, so and Wally all set up on the IP roam, I guess is what you call it, for MI5. And I got a couple other zones in there. So I'm getting hooked up. I just gave him half the money for the radio. I got to give him the other half later this week.
Good deal, good deal. You have to get into some HF. Are you a tech or a general? I don't remember.
No, I'm just a tech. I was studying for my general when I was off, but I've been so busy lately with work that I haven't been able to get back online and go through some more modules. I do it when I can, but being involved with the city and now I'm with Wally over at ARPS, so I got some FEMA classes I got to take, and I still have to do some of my 4-H stuff so I can get vetted for that so I can get into an outfit again. Yeah, my weekends are usually busy in one way or another. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I was just talking to Dave about that last night. Now that I'm retired and looking back, I can't believe I did all the volunteer stuff I did. Can't believe I had the time. And so, yeah, I know how that is. Well, my suggestion is I've been doing online VE testing with WM7X. And I don't even know if you know, I got my extra about a month ago, I guess. I don't know exactly when it was. But anyway, yeah, I would use the ham radio prep and go through those videos because that, you know, that teaches you stuff. But it seems like, especially if you're going to do the online testing where I'm at, the exam tools that they do online is the same as the hamstudy.org free practice test. So I would go through the whole video thing for, I think that's ham radio prep, and then I would switch to studying with the hamstudy.org practice test.
Well, that's what I'm doing, because the ham radio prep is like $35 a module or something like that. So I got up to 70% proficiency right now on my general through hamstudy.org. And I think when I get a free chance, I'm going to go into it a little bit more, study a little bit more, you know, until I get proficient enough that I can, when I go through the testing, when I do the practice test, that I'm up where I need to be.
Yeah, when you're doing that hamstudy.org, make sure you're in the study mode and you get to where you see all the questions. It'll show you a percentage of how many questions you've seen and your score. Make sure you've seen, you know, most of the questions too, because that's where most people are getting hung up, is they're just doing the practice test and they're not seeing all the questions because that's just a random generated practice test. So the study mode will show you how many questions you've seen in the pool and how you're scoring, if that makes sense.
Well, that's the way I'm doing it, is I'm going through the study guide. I'm not just looking through the questions and practicing the questions, you know, or memorizing them. I'm actually doing the study where it sends a question out of any one of the 8 or 9 or 10 modules or whatever it is, and it tells me where I'm proficient at with the bars. You know, I got an account, you know, I log in and everything. It keeps track of it and where I falter. And then if I miss the test, if I miss the question, I'll go through and then I'll read it and absorb it a little bit more. So that's the way I've been doing it. I'm actually doing the study, you know, the study questions without having the answers. I'm actually taking my own answers, and it tells me right or wrong.
All right, cool. Yeah, well, when you're ready to test, make sure you get a hold of me, and I'll let you know where that online one is that I'm doing, and I'll be able to sign your ticket. And maybe even lead your session on a Zoom call. It's a really good program and a great group of guys, so I've been having a lot of fun with that. I think I've already signed about 21 tickets so far in the month I've been doing it.
Well, there you go. Give you something to do. You know, I said I like my tech license, but I said I'm just doing it at, you know, taking my time, doing it at my own speed kind of thing, because I can't afford any more big old fun radios. Not yet, at least. KCKJ.
Yeah, the general is really good if you want to get into HF, because it opens up so many bands you can use for HF. When we get together to do satellite stuff, I'll have you come out to my house, and I'll show you some of the HF stuff and get you to where you want to buy more money, or spend more money. WHCPT.
Yeah, I got to pay Uncle Sam first before I get any more toys. I mean, I need a new UHF DMR mobile antenna, because right now I'm just using a tram that I got through work, and it's dual band. There's no gain on it, so I want to change that out and get just one strictly for UHF, so I've been shopping around for those.
Are you talking a mobile antenna?
Yeah, mobile antenna for the Motorola UHF. Right now I have it connected to a 2-meter off, you know, a 2440, and I want one that's just strictly 440.
Okay, because a lot of us are using that Comet 2x4 that does both, and it even reaches over in the GMRS well enough to use, and I've never had any problem with that antenna at all. It's a really good antenna, the Comet 2x4.
Is that the MR-77? Because that's what I got now for my Alico, is the Comet MR-77.
No, it's called the Comet 2x4. Comet 2x4. A handful of us have got that antenna on our vehicles, and yeah, it works great all around.
Is that through DXE? Because that's who I'll probably order it from, unless Amazon's got one cheaper. Comet 2x4, I'm going to have to find that. Is that a mag mount with an NMO on it?
Pretty sure you can get it whatever way you want. Yeah, that's how I have it set up, is NMO. I got a mag mount, and it's, the antenna's an NMO.
I'm going to have to look it up now when I get home, which is in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that was the second antenna I got, because the first one I got, it didn't work too well. And I got that one. I think it was Dave. It was either Dave or Eric that recommended it. And, man, I haven't even had to think about another mobile antenna after I got that one. It works well.
Cool. When I get in the house, I'll take a look at it. Do I have to buy the mount separately for it?
Yeah, I believe so. There was RL Industries is where I was, or RL Radio or something in Ohio is where I ordered it from, and I had a link to the mag mount that I have on my truck, and I've not had it let loose at all, so I'll have to see if I can find that link. I'm pretty sure I got your email, because I think I was emailing you stuff with the DMR. If I could find the link again to the mag mount and the antenna through there, I'll send it to you. I don't know if you'll get it any cheaper going to the place that you said or not.
probably around the same price, but it's a little bit bigger antenna, so you want to make sure you have a good mag mount, but it's just a single mag mount that I have, and that thing is stuck on, you know, 80 miles an hour. I'm sure I've went a couple times.
Email it to me. I'll check it out, though. I'll look at DX Engineering first, and then I'll look at the other places. But I have arrived at my final destination, and my dog is licking the window as usual.
All right, we'll get in there and feed that dog or pet him or whatever he needs. Pet that dog. All right, good talking to you. I'll catch you later on WCPT.
Pet that dog? All right, I'll talk to you later.
73,
talk to you on the flip.
KCHKGO.
Captain
Don.
KFADOS. All right, that was a double. I heard Jack in there. Hold off, Jack. The other station, go ahead.
Yeah, KFADOS. I heard you guys talking about satellite earlier, and I was just wondering if you could give me the name and model number of that antenna you guys were just speaking of there. I've got a Kenwood TS-2000 on the way, and I need a good antenna to match up with it.
All right, that one that we were talking about is a handheld antenna. I do have it, a second one mounted on what's called a Star Track rotor that you can't get anymore that tracks with that PC-32. But it's kind of a handheld one, so I don't know how good that'll work with the TS-2000. You might want to look into, I don't know how extensive you could get. They do make the Yaesu rotor with, you know, and then you get, like, I think it's called an M6 pack, sat pack or something. But I'm not sure if you're looking for a stationary or a handheld, so go ahead and answer that question first.
I was looking for more of a stationary. I heard him saying something about him throwing it up in the attic, so that's why I was kind of wondering about it.
Yeah, he was talking, I think, just a regular 2-meter, 70-centimeter for RF in the attic, which you can kind of use something like that, but it's not going to, like, follow the satellite and track it, so you will hit it on, you know, parts of the pass, but not as good as if you had a big antenna that was tracking it. So I don't know what the one he was talking about he's putting in his attic, the vertical. But the handheld one is called the Arrow 2. If you look up Arrow 2 satellite antenna, that's the one we were talking about.
All right, I will do that, and appreciate the info there. Yeah. You know if anybody's ever tried just using it as a stationary antenna or not, or even on a lure?
Roger, yeah, I've got the TS-2000, and I've got a Comet vertical, 2-meter, 70-centimeter. It works. It's outside, the antenna is. It works. It's, like I said, though, you only get, you know, certain passes that are certain degrees, because straight up doesn't work too well. So, you know, anywhere from, like, 60 degrees down to, like, 30 degrees. When you got a clear view, nothing in the way, you'll hear it for sure. And get into. I've made contacts with that vertical. It's you got to use that PC-32 to track the Doppler. That's going to be a fun learning curve if you never mess with it, because until you learn it, you think it's outdated and crap, but it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just dipping my toes. I've been wanting to play with it for quite a while now, and just had the means to get a hold of that radio. So I'm just dipping my toes into it. But I'm usually a pretty quick learner, so I'll do my best. And like I said, I do appreciate all the info there, and I'll let you get to Jack there, and have yourself good rest of your day here, and talk to you again maybe. Kilo Paxtrot 8, Bravo Lima X-ray, and I'll go back to listening.
All right, and if you want to look me up on QRZ, my email is good there, Whiskey8CharliePapaTango, W8CPT. And also, I do have a YouTube channel that probably has quite a few, if you look around at the channel, it's not too organized, but my YouTube channel is, just look up my call sign and you'll find my YouTube channel. I played around, and I think there's even a video where I was really frustrated with that BZ32, and then I figured it out. So, yeah, definitely look me up, and if you have any questions, get a hold of me.
All right, I appreciate it. Really do. I heard it's fun, so I can't wait to get my hands on it and start playing around. So, thanks again, and we'll talk soon. KF8, CLX.
All right, good talking to you. I'll catch you again. Let's see, KF8DRC, W8TPT. Out there, Jack.
I'm out here. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I kind of seen your text messages the last couple days, but I've been pretty dang busy, and I knew I couldn't meet up, so that's why I didn't answer. Sorry about that. Probably later in the week would be good, if that's okay with you.
Are you down here or are you up there?
I'm down here, but I'm doing a lot of running around opposite direction to you, and then I'm going to transition right to going up. So, yeah, today's definitely not a good day, and then I'll be up there.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no problem. Just let me know, you know, because it's in the refrigerator, so I don't want to hold it here too long. I want to join it.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm coming back down here Thursday for at least a day, maybe two, so I'll definitely get a hold of you Thursday.
No problem. By the way, you need that Magnum out, I got it here in the front of me. It's J-E-T-S. I can send you a picture of that Magnum out.
Yeah, I kind of got a, well, you could, if you want, just text me the model number, and then I'll look it up on that one website where we all bought it, because I don't think I have that email anymore, so I'm going to have to look it up on the website. So if you could send me the model number or picture with the model number, that'd be cool.
I have that. That's no problem. I do have that right here in the front of me. I just opened it up. I usually save them from my picture in case somebody want one. All right, Captain Don. Good talking to you. KF8DRC.
All righty. Yeah, and then maybe the weekend, depending on the weather and all that, we'll get together and do some of the satellite work. And I'll show you how that all works and get your laptop ready to update the caps. We'll have to see Sunday. We'll see what Sunday looks like. It's going to be a nice weather day. I'll see what time the satellite's coming by, and we'll get you going on that, too. You'll have a lot of fun with that.
Yes, I do need that to learn how you do that. I just sent it to you. I don't know if you got it or not.
Okay, yep, I got it. Cool. That'll help out a lot. Yeah, I mean, that's the same one I got, too. That one works good. I don't have to worry about it coming off my truck at all. Yeah, the 2x4, I'll be able to look that up, because I know that one's easy to find. It was that Magnum mount that I was... going to have trouble finding, because I know it works good, and I wanted the exact one we got.
that's what I got in the picture.
Yep, 10-4. Yep, that's one I'm using on my pickup, too. It works great.
One thing else, when you talk to that gentleman you were talking to, make sure he tells them, or they're going to ask him, make sure it's like a quarter size, the size of a quarter to fit in there.
You mean the antenna? Make sure it's an NMO.
That magnum mount. If he's getting all of the comments, it will fit in there. But the magnum mount is the size of the quarter.
Right, yeah, because if you get the other one, I think it'd be the PL-239. Yeah, there's two different kinds of magnum mounts. Yeah, the one with the model number of that one, JTM6NMO, that'll make sure that it matches up with the NMO version of the 2x4.
Yes, it does that. Anyhow, I'm going to let you go. Go ahead and go. And my sister, she says she will connect. She will text you in May in a couple of days. So I thought no problem, you know. All right, Captain Don. Make sure you do that, please, on Thursday. Take care. KFA, DRC.
All right, Jack, sounds good. Yeah, make sure when she texts me, she says that it's her and her name, so I know. And then, yeah, no hurry. Whenever she's, make sure she's ready to take that test. I mean, if she doesn't pass, then you just pay another $15 when you're ready. But it's good to get it out of the way. And I don't know how ambitious she is and how good she is at studying, but in the same session, you can also take the general test and try to pass it too for the same $15 fee. But yeah, I don't know how good she is at tests. She's really good at tests. She could just study for both and get them both out of the way.
Yeah, she said she will do that anyhow. She's good. Let me tell you, she's better than I am. I don't know how. No, she's not. That's what she is. So, because she has those, what they call a book, and also those. Those, you know, the, I forgot the name of them. They are in paper. They cost $20. And we can put them out. You can come back and think what they are.
Roger that. Yeah, that'll be cool if, yeah, she gets her license too, then you guys, and we could show her how to do the satellite stuff too. She'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah, she likes that. I told her I'm going to come one day and do the satellite. She said, no, you can't do that. I said, yeah, well, I can see.
Oh, yeah, you'll be able to do it once you learn how to update the radio, and then I'll show you how to use that app to actually point the antenna. You said you got an aerial antenna, right?
I got a Yagi 5 Elements. They said it'll work with a Yagi, but I don't know, Captain Don. I really don't know. I never tried it.
Yeah, it's going to have the 5 element for 70 centimeter, and then it's got to have the 2-meter 3 element that are longer. In one antenna, is that the one you got? It's got like 5 going one way and then 3 longer ones perpendicular.
Oh, I don't have that. I just have the regular Yagi with 5 elements on both sides.
All right, that one you're only going to be able to listen with. I'll have to send you the link to the one that we were just talking about with Dakota and Tom.
do that. Yeah, that would be no problem. Now I can get it.
And to make it easier for me, I'm currently texting Tom about the Magna Mountain, the 2x4, and I actually sent him the information for the satellite antenna, and it's right here in front of me. So as soon as I get done texting him with this info, I'll text you the satellite info. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign out for now so I can get this done, and I'm at one of my destinations too, so I'll definitely get a hold of you on Thursday, and I actually might be coming by you on Thursday. I'm supposed to have an appointment out in Rochester, so if either before on my way there or on my way back, I could probably swing by, and that'll work out good. So, all right, cool. Good talking to you, Jack, and I will catch you later on W8TBT.
Hi, Captain Don. Good talking to you. Good to hear from you. And you take care. KFHDCR. Clear. Again. KFRDRC.
All right, Jack. We'll talk to you later on. KF8DRC. W8CPT. I am clear. KF8AYL. KF8AYL. KF8AYL.
This is KC8YDF in Saginaw.
Well, how are you doing tonight there, sir? My name's Ken. This is KF8AYL.
All right, this is Ron, Romeo Oscar November, up here in Saginaw, just down here in the shack. Got the radio on. We have our local net on air at 9 o'clock tonight on the Saginaw repeater. So just down here, had the radios on, doing some printing on the 3D printer, doing some things for the grandkids for Easter. So I thought I'd turn the radio on, heard a call out there.
Oh, nice, doing some 3D printing, yeah. Yeah, I'm here in Birch Run. Just enjoying a cigar after a long day of work.
Yep, I'm still working as well for about hopefully another year and a half if the stock market doesn't totally tank on me and wipe everything out, so that would not be good. So I've got a little over a year and a half is on the schedule, so then I'll have hopefully a little more free time.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Yeah, my portfolio seems to be kind of going south in the last few weeks here. We'll see what happens. What happens, I seem to have a little too much Tesla stock, and that doesn't seem to be doing so hot right now.
No. A little bit of backlash on that one, I guess, so got a few people upset. But how was your weather out there in Birch Run last night?
That storm came through. It was fairly brutal. I mean, it was really weird. It was like
sunny and no wind at all, and then, you know, the ham stuff lit up with the Skywarns, and yeah, the NOAA's going off, and everybody's saying take cover, there's tornadoes, Shiawassee, Owasso, Perry, you know, it's coming, it's flipping, but we didn't see any tornadoes here, but yeah, it got super windy, the power went out at around 7:30 last night. We got it back around 3 o'clock today. Fortunately, we have a whole house generator, so that wasn't a huge problem for us, but the internet was out. That just came back just a little bit ago. So, yeah, now we're back to full capacity here.
All right, yeah. I live out north part of Saginaw Township, northwest part of Saginaw Township. We got the rain. We really didn't get any winds. Yeah, we were watching yesterday. I was watching on radar. I was doing the Skywarn net last night and watching it as it was coming in. Plus, I had the reports coming in from the National Weather Service and some other feeds that I have. So, yeah, it wasn't looking good. And that's the way it usually runs. Most of the storms for Saginaw County either go north through Freeland, through that area out by the airport, or it goes south through, again, Chesney, St. Charles, you know, Birch Run. My daughter and son-in-law live in Burt, so they're just off an M13, about a mile north of Birch Run Road off an M13, and then out through, you know, Birch Run area and into Frankenmuth. So that's the way the storm normally runs through the south part of the county. Unfortunately, I don't have any active spotters that are down in that part of the county. Most of them are in the Saginaw City area, Saginaw Township, Thomas Township to the west. I don't have anybody in Hemlock out to that far part of the west. So always looking for spotters for the net to cover those prone areas.
I see, yeah. Yeah, I'm actually probably closer to Burt than Birch Run. I'm 4 miles west of Birch Run, just north of Birch Run Road. And Burt's a lot closer to me than Birch Run is. But, yeah, I mean, I do some spotting if that was a thing, but I'm kind of in and out. I split my time halfway between Ohio, halfway between here, and then halfway between the west end of UP, so I'm not here all the time.
Well, neither are the spotters that we have. Aren't always here. They're, especially during the summer, they're out camping or on vacation or whatever, so that's why I try and get as many people as I can to cover. And like, unlike the movies where you go out and chase after them, we don't do that. You stay at your home. You spot from your home or your front yard or whatever, but we do not encourage anybody to go out and chase the storms. And actually, in Saginaw County, it's basically impossible. There's so much traffic and so many different roads going in so many different directions. The storms, if they're coming in at 50 miles an hour, there's no way you can get, unless you're already in position when they come in, there's no way you can get in position to spot anything with the traffic and that. They're in and gone before you can get sometimes a half a mile down the road. So that's why everybody does it at their house or wherever location they're at, work or wherever they might be to call on, and just take the reports from there. KCAYVF.
Well, if you need someone from this area, if I'm here, I'd be happy to do whatever I can. That'd be fine with me, but like I said, I'm here about a third of the time, so that's about what I get.
Have you had any Skywarn training before, the basic Skywarn class?
Negative, I have not.
We actually have one coming up here for Saginaw County on the 23rd of April. So it's coming up here in just a few weeks. and I got to look at the calendar. Yeah, 23rd, Wednesday the 23rd of April, out at the Thomas Township Fire Station number 1, which is off M46 and Miller Road on west side of Saginaw. That is open to everybody, and that teaches you the basic information as far as what to report, how to report. And then we also, for our ham radio group, for our emergency service group, we go through, for any new members that haven't gone through it, if I get a new one in, we'll go through net control training as far as what the different conditions are and what you're reporting. If you listened last night, we started out in a standby net, just gathering information, getting people lined up who we could. Once the storm started coming into Shiawassee, Gratiot County, we went to condition green, which is still allows for check-ins and information to come into the net. And then once the severe thunderstorm warning was announced, we went to what is called condition yellow. Condition yellow, there is no traffic on the air unless you're reporting severe weather conditions, damages, even that damage we like to have after we come back to condition green. But any severe weather, any life-threatening situations that meet the criteria are broadcast then. Other than that, it's basically every radio silence. If we ever go to a tornado warning, then it goes to condition red. Again, same things apply with that one. And then I'm also in contact on this frequency, if you were listening as well, with the MICON NetOdd National Weather Service. They will send us the reports. We will then upgrade our condition based on what the current thunderstorm or watch warning or whatever it is, and during that process. So it's a very good class. It takes about an hour and a half, and it's taught by the member of the Weather Service down in White Light, down by Pontiac there. So this one this year isn't in person. We do it every 2 years. You have to recertify, go through the class every 2 years just to catch up on anything that might have changed in that two-year period.
Okay, I hear you. Well, I think I'll still be here on the 23rd. I think I'd be willing to go to that class.
Yeah, that's put on by Saginaw County's Emergency Management Office. So Mark Schabowski is the lieutenant. He's the county emergency manager. He schedules that for us. So we used to do it ourselves, but the Weather Service now wants the emergency managers to do it so that they can promote it to the county, because that way they get police and fire officers and that to attend as well as the general public or for us in ham radio for the spotter network. So good training. It's a learn a lot off of it. Be nice if they could do it. There's actually an online class that's available through the Weather Service, which is a lot more in depth than what you will get in the classroom, because they only got an hour and a half. But I have several of the members that have taken that online course and said it's much more in depth. And there's actually a quiz at the end, and then you get your certificate that you passed. So it's a good thing also to go through the online class to just for the additional information. They used to be about two and a half hours. They cut the classes, the in-person, down to about an hour and a half. It just got to be too long.
Ah, well, I see. Well, yeah, I guess it's a little bit more in-depth than I kind of thought it was, but... Yeah, I'd be willing to be a participant if that's if I can be, if I can be of some help, I'll surely do that.
All right, yeah, like I said, we're always looking for new spotters to help out, especially, like I said, into different parts of the county. And I'd love to get someone down in Chesney and St. Charles, because that's usually the first place where they come in. Down in Oakley area, down in there, they usually come in from that area, and then they either that or they come up in the Freeland. We used to have a member that lived up in Freeland, but he passed away about 5 years ago, so we've lost my contact up there at least. So, good to do. I'm just looking at their schedule here. So there's actually one in Bay County as well. Bay County's coming up April 9th. So a week from Wednesday, looks like it's going to be at the Salvation Army on Salzburg Road. I think it just says, gives me an address. I'm not sure, but I think that's their Salvation Army. And then, like I said, the 22nd, we'll be out of town, for 23rd for us, out at the Thomas Township Fire Department. So, yeah, like I said, it's just basic information, what to look for, what to report, you know, what winds are supposed to be reported, and if, you know, estimated, or if you've got a wind meter to, you know, do that if you have one, you know, size of hail and things like that, what to report. So it's not real in-depth on the in-classroom, but for those that want to get more into it, like I said, the online class is a little more in-depth on it. So, all right, I'm going to let you go. I've got Net coming up here in about 12 minutes, so I've got to get ready for that. Dave, W8DW, I think, is our Net control tonight, but I am Net manager for the Net, so I got to get my reports ready and my spreadsheet and that to record the information. So good talking to you again. And we'll be on the air. I'm usually on during the day or at around 8 o'clock in the morning when I go to work and 5 o'clock when I come home, and usually have one of the radios on during the evening. So, well, 73 to you. We'll turn it back over to you, KC8YDF.
Yeah, well, excellent information. I appreciate it. I will definitely look into it. This is KF8AYL.
KF8DSF. KF8DRC.
KF8DRC, KF8AYL. You out there, Jack?
EYO, KF8DRC. Go ahead, Cap.
Detroit Rock City. Yeah, you're sounding good, Jack.
I'm on the handheld. AR-5.
Yeah, we're still without power here. But life moves on.
Yeah. Flint didn't have no power yesterday, but it came this morning. That's what I heard. No, we had power here in Rochester Hills. Go ahead.
Yeah, we lost power about 7:30 last night or so when that storm moved through, and it came back around 3 o'clock today, 3 p.m. today, but then we lost it again. Somebody, yeah, there's still a bazillion outages in the area. I'm sure they're bringing in crews from out of state to help with their situation. Because if you look at the outage map, it looks pretty brutal. They're still like 7% of their total customers without power, so I'm sure some people are doing something. So something tripped off back offline. I'm guessing it'll be short-lived here. It's not weather-related tonight.
Yesterday it was so bad. I was in West Schofield. I drove all the way to Rochester. There's so much traffic on the way on 59. It was unbelievable. I don't know where all that traffic come from. I guess they were on West Schofield or somewhere there. Roger?
I don't know. But, we're sitting here on the generator power, right? Fortunately, we have a whole house generator, and it's working, so we're fine.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. It's good. I have a small generator that's in the garage, about 4,000 watts. That's all I have. And it works on gas and propane.
Yeah, I wired in and plumbed in a whole house center when we moved in here in 2007, 2008, something like that. So, but she's working. She's good. I had to replace the capacitors last night because the voltage kind of dropped off, but she's working now. She's no problem. Oh, not a Generac. Generac is a, yeah, no. No, not a Generac. It's a Briggs & Stratton unit with a true American-made Briggs & Stratton motor and an Italian alternator on it.
Italian alternator, huh? I don't know. I like the collars. The collars they use them. Army use the collars, and the fire department use them. There's one here by me on John R. and Troy. It's so big. It's not that big, really, you know, but it's a good generator.
Yeah, my problem with the Generacs is they're all brushed alternators, and you need to service those every like 2 or 3 years. You need to replace those, and most people don't. And then they wonder why their generator doesn't work when they want it to.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. My brother had one. My brother-in-law had one at the house. And the first year he moved in, he couldn't start it. So the guys came in, it was Generac too. The guys came in, they looked at it, they tell him that's no good. He said, there's no way you can repair it. He said, no, you cannot repair that. And, you know, and here goes, you know, the value of the house came a little bit down, maybe about $5,000 to $10,000.
Well, I'm sure they're just fine for a lot of situations. I don't know, but when I was doing my research, I was like, oh, these brushes and they're alternating, it's all, and the Chinese motors. I don't have a problem with China radios or China this or that, but it all depends on how the quality control of the company controlling it and is as they're importing it. Yeah, that's my take, but whatever.
Yeah, you're right about that. Depends how they make it. Really, like this radio, you know. There's four finger by $20 a piece. But they're all not that great. Some of them may be one or two, and they're making that DB20G is the best. So you're right. Depends who's making it and how they're making it.
That's right. It's all about quality control. That's for sure. I'm talking to you on my Ocean, whatever. This is a great radio, man. Made in China. I've had some Japanese radios. I've had. I don't know. This radio works great.
They make this really great radios and good audios, by the way. You're sounding good. You know, you're sounding like face to face. Roger.
Well, I have a Kenwood base station too, but people say I don't sound as good as I do on this radio, as I do on the Kenwood, so I kind of relegated the Kenwood to the back of the barn.
Oh, I never know anything about Kenwood. I really don't. You know, I 2 years ago, somebody was talking to Professor Don. They had a Kenwood, They pay top dollar for it. The radios, I'm saying about the radios. And really, that radio was nothing but putting out a narrow band. It would not put out wide band.
Well, mine did wide band, but whenever I talked on it, everybody said I didn't sound as good as I did on this on the radio I'm on now. So I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Those are good radios anyhow. The Ocean radios, they're good radios. I like them. I don't know if I was ever told you. When I got into DMRS, I ordered one, and it took 2 years, and still I couldn't get it. When I called the guy, I found out the guy who worked by himself, he gets the radios from China. And he worked by himself to put out the orders. Work by himself, that's no good. That's why everybody was waiting in the waiting list, like 6 months, a year, 2 years. And that's what happened. So I ended up canceling.
I've heard this story from you before. And, I don't know. I don't buy the 2 years part, Jack. Because those radios were not... They were not available for 2 years. They were available, not available for, you know, a couple of months at a time, but they were not available for not 2 years. I got a couple in a box here. You want one? I'll give you one. I got one in a box, brand new. You want it?
Well, thank you, Ken. I got enough radios here. I got a handheld about 10... and a 220 watts and 150 watts. So that'll be enough for now. And thank you.
I got the UV8H2 in a box, brand new. But that's actually the one I carry around with me as an HD. That's a really good radio as an HD.
So one thing, I started with the UV88PYC, and that is excellent radio.
Well, I got an Icon coming. I'm going to try one of those. It has a base station, but it does more HF stuff, so I'm going to try that one out.
Well, the only thing I know about Icon is the 73. When I don't, you heard the probably, yeah, you heard them. It was Professor Dot. He said those are the radios, the number one radio. The 7500 is not the greatest, but the 73 is the only one. That's what he was saying. And he had one. By the way, he had one. And 3-4 people bought them too.
Well, I will find out shortly. Because I got one coming. I'm going to do some HF stuff.
Well, that's good. Anyhow, I just, you know, I was out there yesterday, and I don't know if you know that. I put it that 2 meter, 70 centimeter antenna. And I switched both of them, the DYD-96 and the DB-20, they both worked, and they had a good match. I don't know how, but they did both of them work, and had a good match.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear the Dave guy on GMRS side is complaining his DB20G is overheating all the time. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, well, what he does, he talks for 3 hours straight. He doesn't give no break for the DB20G. What would he think?
it's not that great to talk for 3 hours straight.
Well, I don't know that I listen for 3 hours straight, but I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard him talking for that long. I mean, he talks for a while, but not for 3 hours that I've heard. I guess it happened. I guess it could happen.
I can't, you know, when you finish with one person, then you get another person out there, then you get another one, and they all come one after another one.
Yeah, I know how it goes. I know how it goes. That's for sure.
So now you're outside smoking a cigar yet?
I am smoking a cigar. I'm just finishing it. But yeah, I'll be going in shortly here. But yeah, I'm just finishing this up. Oliva V here. Good cigar.
That's good. You're enjoying it outside, anyhow. It's a little bit chilly, but it's okay. It's no big deal. I was running around all day today, and I went all the way through Pontiac and came back, and I had to go over Troy and came back and all that, so I just came back. But it's not bad, really, outside, you know. Just put a little jacket, and that's all you need.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, that's, just, enjoying my cigar. That's what I like to do.
Well, that's good. That's really good. And this is KFABRC.
You got it right this time. Earlier today, you were a KFLB something else. I mean, yeah, you're going to learn that call sign, Jack. KFABRC, Detroit Rock City. Just remember that, Detroit Rock City. KFA, Detroit Rock City. That is you.
Yeah, Detroit Rock City. What do you,
oh,
when you do? You put a bourbon and you put it ice, and that's rock.
Well, you'll forever be known as Detroit Rock City unless you get your amateur extra and change your call sign or something like that. You're Detroit Rock City.
No, he's not. He's the district of the Republic of the Congo.
Right, Eric. How did you figure that out?
I'm sorry, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And by the way, I have two DB20Gs and I talk all the time. They don't overheat. It depends on your match. If you have a bad match and you key up forever, then yeah, any radio will overkey, will overheat. Heck, even the $500, $600 Yaesu Mobile will blow the finals if you key up too long with a bad match. So I don't know. If your radio's overheating, there's three things. You're either keying up too long, your match is high, or both.
Go ahead, Ken.
Oh, it's Mr. Eric. Mr. Eric, I have a bone to pick. I heard you the other day, like four or five days ago, I don't know. You were talking to somebody about the Titanic Olympic switch theory and that you believe that it is true. Can I interject some facts into that? Because I'm a Oceanliner buff. Can I interject some facts into that argument?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. I said I was about 75% sure, but it doesn't matter. I heard a two-hour podcast where some guy gave 2 hours worth of evidence that it was true, but of course, you know, how do you debunking? If you don't know the whole story, then you don't know the story. You weren't there. He don't know the story, so I kind of shy away from debunking. You can't debunk a debunk. But you got to admit, it is a very interesting and it's a very interesting concept, and it's very entertaining to think about. But like I said, after I listened to the podcast, I'm about 75% convinced that it could be true. I never said I was 100%. I said I was 75% convinced that it could have happened. But that was after hearing 2 hours worth of evidence. So I don't have 2 hours to listen to your evidence. So, you know, to each their own opinion, I guess. I don't really have an opinion. I'm just saying from what I heard, it sounded pretty convincing.
No, I heard you say 75%, and my evidence will only be about 1 or 2 minutes long.
Yeah, but how do I know that your evidence is true? I mean, I can't prove it. I have no idea. Unless you send me a document, like send me something like Wikipedia or something.
That is not necessary. The biggest thing about that whole theory is the hull numbers. Hull number, Olympic was 400, Titanic was 401. Everything on that ship, the trim molding, the carpet, the paneling, the boilers, the piping, had the hull number written into it. So you can go down, and they brought up stuff from the Titanic, and it all has hull number 401 on it. Olympic had a 30-year career. It was scrapped out. They sold a bunch of stuff. A lot of that stuff survives today. All that stuff that they have has hull number 400 written onto it. For them to have switched it would have been a monumental effort for the month and a half that they were docked together in that shipyard to do that switch. That's my only evidence. That's my 2 minutes worth, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, that's pretty simple. I mean, this guy said that the hull numbers didn't match, and he had testimony from the dock workers and insurance documents and dimensions of the ship. And I'm sure if it was that easy, this guy wouldn't be, I mean, that would be pretty quick and easy, wouldn't it? Just like a car, right? Oh, the VIN numbers match or the VIN numbers don't match. If it was that simple. So, yep, I haven't seen every single piece on that ship. Show me pictures of every piece of that ship that has that hull number, and I'll believe it. But I'm pretty sure that guy that dedicated like 30 years of his life and spent 2 hours with all this evidence, I'm sure he would have thought that. That's like the first thing. I mean, if a cop says that your car is stolen, what's the very, very, very first thing they're going to do is they're going to look at the VIN numbers, which, of course, can be changed, but on a car, it's only like, what, three spots. It's like, your VIN number's like three spots on a car, so conceivably it could be done. But, well, like I said, it would have to be about 100 times more evident than that, but that would be the simplest way. I mean, if it was that simple, that would, like, there wouldn't be any conspiracy if it was that simple. But I know. I'm not going to argue about it. this could be, I'll have to let you know where the podcast is and you can listen to it. But he said, no, the hull numbers did not match.
I've seen the podcast. I already know what you're talking about. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to convince you one way or the other. I'm just trying to say that everything on that ship, the trim molding, the paneling, everything had it. It had that number written into it. And everything they bring up from the Ocean Floor, from the Titanic wreck, has 401, and everything that survives today from the auction off of the Olympic, because it had a 30-year career, they auction off their stuff in the late 1930s, has hull number 400 on it. I don't know how you can get around that. I really don't. That, to me, I don't know how you can get around that.
But what I'm saying, if it's that cut and dry, why would the guy spend 30 years investigating it and get sworn testimony from hundreds of people? If it was that cut and dried, I mean, it would, you know what I mean? If it was that simple, then why would there be any alternate story? And he was also doing this, investigating this well after, whatever that guy's name was, that went down there and first found the Titanic. You know what I'm talking about. I can't think of his name, but what, in the 1980s or whatever. But, well, like I said, even if the story is BS, it was probably the most interesting story. It had 1,000 puzzle pieces, and every one of those 1,000 puzzle pieces fit together, coincidentally, that it was not the Titanic that sank. That's all I'm saying. So this guy must be the best story maker upper in the history to come up with 1,000 facts that actually fit together and still be wrong. So that's all I'm saying. I mean, if he was wrong, that's the most entertaining story of thousands of facts that fit together.
I hear you, but I'm going to tell you, he was wrong. I don't know what his motivation was, but it's likely just to create a name for himself, which is not uncommon in the world we live in today. But I don't know. The facts of those hull numbers, I don't see any way around that. I really don't.
Well, like I said, I didn't say I was 100% sure. I was just saying that from the evidence that he presented, it seemed like they were probably switched, if you heard this podcast. But, I mean, of all the seminars this guy gave and all the interviews this gave, I'm surprised no one just said, hey, what about the serial numbers on the... Then there's a lot of stupid hosts out there, a lot of stupid interviewers that didn't ask him that. Would you would agree on that, right? If it was that simple, then why didn't anyone ever ask him to explain that? I mean, I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying that the people who interviewed him must have been pretty dumb.
Well, I can't explain that, but, you know, they go down there with the cameras and they can see on the boilers that the boilers themselves have hull number 401 written on them. You're not kidding. Those ships were docked together for a month and a half. There's no way they could have switched all that stuff out in a month and a half. It would have taken 3 times the amount of people that Harlan Wolf had. They were employing about 3,000, 4,000 people at the time. It would have taken 15,000 people to do that in a month and a half. There's just no possible way, in my head, anyway. I'm not saying you're not wrong to think of it, because I saw these and I said the same thing and I started researching it. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think there's any way this could have happened.
Yep. And I wonder why those ships nearby never came to the rescue. And it was weird that they had ships all around them, and all they had on board were blankets and life preservers waiting. It's kind of funny too. And the whole thing about the radio operator and, you know, what really split the side of the ship open, if it was really the iceberg or if it was metallurgical failure. I mean, I watched a ton of Titanic stuff, and it's just a fascinating story, regardless if they switched. So forget about that for a minute. I'm just saying, in general, it's a fantastic story, in general.
It is, no doubt. I'm well familiar. So these other ships, the Californian, the radio operator went to bed. Yes. Were they really nearby? Did they really witness this and not say anything about it? I actually think they did. I think the Californian was there, and I think they witnessed it, and I think they said, oh, shit. Yeah, we saw that, but we didn't see that. But, yeah, it's definitely a fascinating story. But we're guessing Jack here. Hey, Jack, are you still out there?
Jack was on the Titanic. We could just ask him.
Yeah, I was there with a flying saucer.
The flying saucer. That's awesome. Perfect. Perfect answer, Jack.
You got to look at who was on board the Titanic. But, yeah. It's amazing, though, that ship went 25 miles an hour, same speed as the current ocean liners, you know, the cruise liners. They aren't any faster than the Titanic. Titanic was booking, what, 26, 28 miles an hour, which is hauling pretty good.
Well, Titanic had a top speed of like 23 knots. Its normal cruise speed was 21 or so. The Queen Mary II is the last ocean liner surviving today, and I actually took the Queen Mary II 2 years ago from New York to Southampton. It's the last real ocean liner operating a transatlantic service. Awesome experience. Great experience. If you ever have a chance to do it, you should do it, because it's great. But it goes 26 knots, 25 knots. It's capable of 31 knots. But in the previous era, the SS United States, which I'm probably sure you might have heard of in recent news, was because it's just been moved from Philadelphia to Mobile to be scrapped or, you know, scuttled off the coast of Florida or whatever. But the SS United States was capable of 42 knots. But that was a state secret because it was a military ship. It was sponsored by the United States government to carry troops in case they had to convert it to a troop carrier. But It was a regular ocean liner that was just out there doing its service, and its regular cruise speed was around 32, 36 knots, but it was capable of 42. But it was crazy. It still holds the Blue Ribbon record today for the fastest ocean liner transatlantic crossing.
Yeah, I've heard all about that. Yep. Anywho, I'm going to watch my TV show is on here, so I'm going to take off. And Jack will get with you a little bit later there. But, yeah, nice talking to you. I was just having fun. You know, I know how you feel. You probably feel like how I feel when those people say that we never went to the moon. It's like, okay. I mean, some of them, some of their points do make a little bit of sense, but not really. I mean, they could be shot down pretty quick. Anywho, nice talking to you. I didn't even get your call sign. I forgot. I never got it. This is W8EAP.
KFNP, well, Ken. Yeah, I've talked to you several times before, but nobody remembers me for some reason, but that's all right. I get it.
Yeah, well, it must have been a while ago. It might have been on GMRS, too. But, all right, Jack, catch you a little bit. Catch everybody. W-A-D-A-P.
Hey, that's show sign 930. Like yours, but it's 930.
He's WRTX 957, I believe. I'm WRTX 930, but that's on the GMRS side. We're not there now, Jack. This is KFAP Whale.
So what else, Ken? Is that when the blowing by you there or raining?
No, weather's super calm. No problems.
That's good. And this is KFABRC.
Well, what else is happening down there in Rochester Hills? Anything exciting?
Oh, it's so quiet here. I don't know why. Because it's Monday, probably. Everybody go to work on Mondays. They'll be so tired on Mondays. Then they got Tuesday, and they got the whole weekend in front of them. When I came back, it was quiet.
I see. Yeah, we got cat problems here. We have two cats, one of which decided they just didn't like the other cat. All of a sudden, after like 3 years of coexistence, the one cat just decided they didn't like this other cat. And now we have to keep them separated because it was like an all-out fight for like 2 or 3 days. Like, we need to separate these cats. They're not getting along. I don't know what it is. It's a thousand years of instinct in those cats, but wow, it was like an all-out war. Like, holy cow, man. Yeah, we need to separate these two.
Well, are they? Are they outside the house or in the house?
One is an outside cat, so it comes in and out, and the other one is a purely inside cat. So, that's kind of what I was thinking, is like, maybe the cat that goes outside got a weird smell, and the other cat decided they didn't like that. I don't know, but, we've had these two cats for 3 years now. They've never been best friends, but they've always gotten along. But, man, wow. The last 2 days, it's like all out war. Like, these two cats need to not see each other for a long time, and we need to do a reintroduction, which is a thing with cats, but holy cow. Yeah. All out war.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe they need to take a shower and see what happened after that. Both of them. Right, Ken?
I'll tell you what, when you see two cats going at each other and in their all-out phase, it's a scene. I've been around cats for a long time, but when you see that, it's like, man, wow, these cats are out for war. It's just like, you know, holy cow, they're just out for blood.
Do you feed the one outside too, or no?
Only one of them goes outside, but she always comes back at night. We let her in, and things are usually normal. So, and now they're not normal.
They must have had one of them has bad dreams. That's what I think.
I almost think the outside cat got into something, and the inside cat decided they didn't like that smell for whatever reason. And then, but the inside cat's more the submissive one, so she just kind of cowers and just growls. But when she growls, that triggers. It literally just triggers the other cat into, you know, the giant tail, the ears go up, and it just war ensues.
I really don't know what to tell you. The weather is changing, so it could be anything from out there, really, between the one inside and between the one outside. And when you let it outside, there's another different story. Maybe the other one just says, how come he let her outside and I'm not outside? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, the inside one doesn't want to go outside. You can leave the door open. She won't go outside. She goes by the door and smells the outside, listens to the outside, but she will not step foot outside.
Well, I really don't know what to tell you, Ken. I never had a cat, really. I only had a dog, and it was Irish Setter. And that Irish Setter, every time you see you, he'll say hello. He'll stop by a couple of times, I mean, hello, you know. And he'll stop by again. He wants to eat and a drink.
I hear you. This one's just kind of new to me because, yeah, like I said, we've had cats for years, different ones, and these two have been around together for the last 3-4 years, and all of a sudden, one of them has targeted the other as enemy and war. Man, it's war. Yeah, we have separated them now, so it's a kind of a difficult situation. We got to keep one in a room, and then you got to, you know, put food and water and litter box in there, and then yeah, we're gonna have to do this for a while.
Well, we're done here, more work for you and the wife, you know. That's what I mean, you know, because you got to put two different things there. And one of them wants to get out, and the other one doesn't want to get out. And it's a little bit more work right now. And you have to, you know, realize that, hey, why is one going out and one doesn't go out? We got to figure this thing out.
They know, you know, you put one in a room and close the door, and they're like, I mean, at least I feel like it's like I just put the one in jail, and the other one has free reign of the house, and then we kind of switch them. But Yeah, this way it's going to have to be for the next few weeks. We're going to have to keep them separated and then reintroduce them to their own smells and then, yeah. Wow, hilarious. Never experienced this one before in my life, but whatever. It's cat mentality. Wars, man, the war when they go at it. Holy cow. You never seen anything like it.
Oh, wow. That is a big difference between a big war like that. I really don't know. I don't know. They're eating canned food, canned water, and one goes outside and one doesn't. You know. I don't know what to tell you. I never had this problem. I don't have a cat here. The only thing, a couple of nights ago, it used to be last summer, the cats come by here. And that's the first night the cat, at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, he jumped over here and came here. And it went away after 2 hours.
Oh, you should put a camera out. I'm sure you are getting many cat visitors at night. They're all around at night, coming around.
Wow. Is one of them is a male and the other one is a female?
Both our cats are females, which actually is kind of a problem because they say you should have a male and a female, or, yeah, they're both females.
I don't know, that's hard to think what it is. It really is. All right, cat. Good talking to you. We'll talk again. Maybe tomorrow. You take care and you have a good evening. KSA, DRC, clear.
Detroit Rock City, have a good night there. KSA, they're well, clear.